Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Thank you for joining us for our Sunday evening sermon time. We're going to be concluding a series that we've done the last few weeks that we've called Outdoor Classroom. The entire goal of this series was to look at some of the creatures that God has made in nature and see what kinds of spiritual lessons that they can teach us. And so you may want to check back on our Facebook page or even past sermon videos to see all the pictures that people have submitted. We've had some incredible drawings and paintings and people who have taken incredible pictures or made crafts and quilts. We've had children that have put together some awesome designs on Minecraft or colored in some pages, all of which focused on a specific animal that we've been learning about. I hope this has been especially helpful for our children. I know that one of the things that has happened during this time where we've had a lot of online resources is that we're doing a lot of watching a worship service or watching a sermon in our living rooms. And sometimes it's hard for our younger ones to stay engaged, especially when they're in their own house where they have their own things and their own toys and that kind of thing going on. And it's hard to stay focused. And so I hope that maybe this theme has given us something that could grab their attention. And I would encourage you, all these are still available on YouTube. And so if there's one that you missed, or maybe you have a child that's old enough, you want to go through some of these and talk about some of the animals. Children love to talk about animals and maybe make some of these spiritual connections. I hope that will be helpful for you as well. We're going to be concluding this series with one of the most common images of an animal that we see in Scripture. And we're going to look at it from a couple of different angles. So we're thinking about sheep, and we're thinking about the lamb. And instead of those being repetitive, we're actually going to focus on two specific aspects of the way in which those animals are used in Scripture. And the place that we see a pretty clear contrast is in Isaiah 53. Now, Isaiah 53 is an Old Testament passage that is one of those servant songs that we discussed earlier, way back when we began this series and we talked about the eagle. And so some of the times when Isaiah is talking about the servants of God, he's speaking of Israel, of God's people. But then later on in Isaiah, and especially when we get to Isaiah 53, we see that he's speaking specifically about Christ and the role that Jesus would play. So let's look at Isaiah 53, and we're going to begin as he gives this description in the first few verses of that we see fulfilled in Jesus, being despised and forsaken of men. The servant was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. In verse 3, verse 4, surely our griefs he himself bore, our sorrows he carried. Verse 5, he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. So we can envision Jesus on the cross when we read these verses. But look at verses 6 and 7. There's an interesting contrast here. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. So here we see a common usage in Scripture where God's people are described as sheep, and more than once in Scripture, these sheep have gone where they're not supposed to go. We've gone astray, and yet all of our iniquities, the sins and transgressions of us, are all falling on this one servant. But then look at verse 7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter, and like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, so he did not open his mouth. So now we have that same animal, but used in a different way to describe the mission of Christ, like a lamb that was led to slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. And so for a few minutes, I'd like for us to focus on both sides of that equation, both parts of this passage. And so we're going to begin by thinking about sheep. Now, as you've probably heard before, when we're compared to sheep in Scripture, that's not usually a flattering comparison. In fact, there are all kinds of stories about how sheep are not very smart animals. And I can remember discussing this concept in a Bible class years ago, and afterwards, a man came up to me and said, I just want you to know that for a lot of my life, I worked with sheep. And I want you to know, you're right. They're not very smart. And so I don't have a lot of personal experience with sheep, but I take his word for it and others, that when we think about sheep, it's not always flattering. In fact, one of the examples that I can remember reading about happened in Yorkshire, England in 2004. Shepherds were having a problem. They were losing their sheep. Now, they had installed some of these metal grids that are kind of hoof-proof that you can't really cross, but sheep had figured out how to roll across those grids instead of trying to walk across them. So they would roll across. Some of them would even jump or hurdle over those grids, and they would get away. They would destroy neighboring gardens. They would wander into oncoming traffic, and they didn't seem frightened by any of the people or the cars around them. And in the report, one of the individuals that worked with the sheep was interviewed and asked why they didn't seem to be afraid of what was taking place all around them. And he said they simply didn't understand the danger they were in. What they thought they wanted was freedom. What they thought they wanted was to be in control of where they were going. They didn't understand the dangers. And that story reminds me why sheep become such an appropriate image for us. There are so many times we want things that we really think would be best for us, but it turns out that they aren't. And so while there are several places in Scripture we could choose to spend our time, I want us to think about just a couple of principles that show up. The first is that sheep need guidance. That's why we constantly see the image of sheep and a shepherd. Now, when we think of a shepherd today, maybe because we're looking through the lens of our imagination, or we don't have a lot of exposure to shepherds, we might think of it in a very idyllic setting. But shepherds, those who were taking care of flocks, they had to be tough. You may remember in the Old Testament when David describes being a shepherd, part of that role involved protecting sheep from wild animals. And those shepherds also had to be wise to be able to get the sheep where they needed to go. Think about some of the Psalms where the psalmist describes himself and describes followers of God as sheep. For example, in Psalm 100 and verse 3, "Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." In other words, he is our shepherd. He is our guide. Or Psalm 79, verse 13, "We, your people, and the sheep of your pasture will give thanks to you forever. To generations we will tell of your praise." So because sheep commonly are known for needing guidance, shepherds have become in Scripture a constant image of God's leaders. Now, often when we think about shepherds, we think about elders in the church. That's the way they're described in the New Testament. And that's a very appropriate term. In fact, when we talk about our elders at Graymere, it's very appropriate to refer to them as our shepherds. They're the ones who were guiding the flock. But did you know that imagery doesn't just start with the church? It doesn't just start in the New Testament. In fact, you can go back to Ezekiel, and even in this book of prophecy, God is describing the religious leaders of Israel, the people who are supposed to be in charge, as Israel's shepherds. So in chapter 34 of Ezekiel, God's people are described as sheep, and the spiritual leaders of Israel are shepherds who were not doing their job. And that chapter lists all the ways that these people who are supposed to be taking care of God's flock are falling down on the job. And then in verse 11, God states, "I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out." And I think that's an important connection to make, because when we get to the New Testament, when we have Jesus doing one of these incredible miracles he performed, the miracle that's recorded in all four of the Gospels, the feeding of the 5,000, Mark tells us in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, that when Jesus looked out on the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. I think that's significant. That God said in Ezekiel, I'm going to come and be the shepherd of my people. And then you get to the Gospels, and in Mark 6, Jesus sees them as sheep without a shepherd. And we go to another Gospel in John chapter 10, where Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. In other words, God did come down and did provide the kind of shepherding and the kind of guidance that his people, his sheep, needed. Now, it's interesting that as Jesus describes himself as the ultimate shepherd, the good shepherd, he also contrasts himself with anyone else who tries to come in. The thief or the robber come in to steal and to destroy, not the good shepherd. Very often in the ancient world, you might have flocks that were located or herded into sort of a common pen, a common area. And so various sheep would know the voice of their shepherd. And so Jesus uses that kind of imagery to say that his sheep hear his voice. And that sometimes that's tough for us, because if we're the ones that are represented by sheep, and if sheep need guidance, that means we need guidance. And I don't like to admit that. I don't like to admit that I need someone else's help. In fact, I can think of several times in life where if I had just asked for help earlier on in a project, maybe a project around the house, maybe a trip that I was taking somewhere and I didn't want to ask for directions, if I just stopped and asked for guidance, I could have gotten what I needed done a lot sooner. But there's something in us that just doesn't like to depend on someone else. We want to chart our own course. But it's interesting to read reports of sheep and what some sheep would do. Some would even walk into a fire, not realizing what would happen as they walked into a fire. There are reports of sheep being cast, which would happen when they fall over on their backs with legs in the air and can't get back up. Now, again, that's a humbling picture to describe ourselves. But there are times when we simply don't know what we're getting into, or we've fallen over and we're simply not able to handle that challenge ourselves. It's interesting to see the way Jesus is able, as the good shepherd, to call his sheep by name. I think we get insight into that earlier in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 2, beginning in verse 24. Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to testify concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Jesus knew all men. He knows all of us. So we have a shepherd, not only that we need to be following, but that understands us, but understands who we are. And so our challenge is, whose voice are we going to listen to? I like the story that was reported several years ago about a woman from Missouri who was startled out of her sleep by cries of help. Now, can you imagine being asleep in the middle of the night? You're startled by cries of help, and you're not certain what's going on. You're trying to remember, where are you, what's happening? But she thought at first it was just a dream, and so she kept hearing someone in her house was calling for help. She thought it might be her husband, but he was sleeping soundly next to her. And she kept hearing the cries. Finally, she went in the living room and found out there was a voice crying help. She says, "Where are you?" And the woman replied, "In the fireplace." And what had happened was someone had tried to sneak into her house to rob her house and had gotten stuck. And so it was in the fireplace calling for help. Now, that showed up in a lot of newspapers. I don't know how true it was. I like the picture that's painted there, don't you? Of someone who's trying to come in some other way, a thief or a robber that ends up having to shout for help. When we think about Jesus, we know when we follow his voice, when we listen to him, that he has our best interests at heart. We need guidance. We also need nourishment. And that's something that all of us understand on a physical level, and especially animals understand that. Not too long ago, our family went to the Animal Safari Park that's located in the Jackson, Tennessee area. It's really neat. You can drive through there. You can feed the animals. They'll come right up to you. You can see camels. You can see deer. You can see a giraffe at the end of it. You have all kinds of breeds of animals that will come up. Even several ostriches would come up, and they're pretty aggressive. You've got to watch that. Buffalo would come up. And one of the things that's interesting as you're feeding these animals is that some of them are so desperate to get something to eat, especially the ones that aren't at the front of the line, the ones that are towards the back, they're so desperate that they'll do things that are actually counterproductive to getting the food, just because that's how badly they want it. And so if you're trying to feed one of the camels, they may just bite the bowl that you're holding of food and just try to get it out of your hands. Of course, once they've gotten it out of your hands and then they try to open their mouth to eat it, they'll just drop it. That will cost them a lot more food, but they're so desperate for it, that's not what they're thinking about. They just want what's in your hands. Of course, then you have maybe some buffalo that come over and you realize, you know, I might have been saving this food for later on. I'm just going to give this buffalo everything he wants right? Because you don't want to mess with them. It's just to see that important need that they have for nourishment is so clear. And sheep have that same kind of need for nourishment. But what others have told us over the years is that sheep don't always know how to get that nourishment. They may stay in the same area, even though it's been grazed over and there's nothing there for them. They may be on their way to a better place to feed and stop and start licking up muddy water that's in puddles, not realizing that if they just followed their shepherd, they would end up in a place where they'd have much better nourishment. We need guidance, but we also need nourishment. And it helps us to understand how when we read, for example, the 23rd Psalm, one of the comforting parts of that passage is that the shepherd leads us into green pastures, places where there will be nourishment. And it's important for me to ask myself, if I'm part of God's flock, what is my spiritual nourishment level look like? Am I seeking not only God's guidance, but am I listening to his word? Am I allowing that to nourish me and to sustain me? Am I following his direction to grow spiritually? So as sheep, we need guidance and we need nourishment. And the one we are following, in sort of an ironic way almost, is described in Scripture often as the Lamb. The role of the Messiah is the Lamb that was slain. You may remember a few weeks ago as we were describing the imagery of a lion. We looked in the book of Revelation, and remember, Revelation, we're entering into a very symbolic world that's telling us an important spiritual truth. And so as John is there, introduced to the Lion of Judah, the powerful Messiah, instead of seeing a lion when he turns around, he sees a lamb as if it had been slain. And you have this imagery of the lamb that was slain as the Messiah. And that would have been incredibly striking in the ancient world to think about that lamb as powerful. In fact, in Revelation 7, verse 17, the lamb in the center of the throne will be their true shepherd and will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. The lamb will be the shepherd. Again, that sounds a little odd to us, but we're not just talking about any lamb. We're talking about the lamb that was slain. That's the role the Messiah played. And I have to imagine that if I were there in the first century and I had been expecting a Messiah that was going to come in like a lion, I would have been surprised by many of the things that Jesus did. And his apostles were surprised. There were times when they thought things might get violent, when there were times when they thought it might be time to fight. But that's not what Jesus was there for. And there are times Jesus didn't act like other leaders. Instead, he was washing feet. He was modeling service for them. In fact, even as Jesus is led through the mockery of a trial and he's brought before Pilate, he has that attitude that we saw in Isaiah 53, like a lamb before its shearers is silent. All of the things that Jesus endured, he endured without responding in kind and without lashing out. Lonnie Jones has spoken here several times, and so several of you know Lonnie and his story. And as he is a minister, not only a counselor, but also an avid outdoorsman and a rock climber and runs a ropes course in Alabama. He loves physical activity, but he's also someone who speaks at a lot of youth events. And years ago, I was leading singing at a youth rally where he was speaking, and so I was right there on the front row, which if you're sitting on the front row in a youth rally, you're often going to get called on for something. And so he called me up because he wanted to illustrate something. And so he stood me right in front of him, and he said, "I want you to slap me." Now, I'm not in the habit of slapping people, and I don't think I've ever slapped anyone with an audience before, so I was a little reluctant. And if you know Lonnie and you know a lot of the self-defense that he knows, I thought what was going to happen is I was going to slap him and he'd do some jujitsu move on me and then I'd be picking myself up off the floor. And so I kind of just half-heartedly did this. And he said, "No, I want you to really slap me." And so I kind of smiled. Everybody kind of laughed. And so I sort of did it a little bit again and kind of made contact. And he said, "No, really slap me. Really hit me right now." And so I have to admit, he was prodding me and telling me to do that. So I slapped him. It may not be the hardest hit he's ever received, but it was loud enough to make a pop on the lapel mic that he had right there, which made it sound like I'd hit him really hard. And he went with it. I mean, he put his head to the side. I'll never forget seeing a young lady that was sitting right in my eyesight when I saw his head, and she had her hand over her mouth. They thought I'd really hit him, more from his response than from my overwhelming, powerful slap. But what he did as a result of that was nothing. He let this slap land. He let the sound resonate. And then he just looked at me. And then he turned and said, "That's the reaction that Jesus had when he was going through this trial, when he was led before Pilate. When he was hit, when he was spat upon in the process, he didn't revile the people that were doing it. He didn't lash back out. Jesus is in complete control of what's happening. He told Pilate, you would have no authority except what was given to you. But he doesn't lash out. He's a lamb that is silent before its shearers, led to the slaughter. He's willingly sacrificing himself." And that's a powerful, powerful image for us to keep in mind, especially in a world that values fighting back and that values hitting back and lashing out. In fact, it seems to me that the kind of leadership Jesus modeled is very different than what we see glorified in our culture around us. It seems to me that Jesus' kind of leadership was never afraid to speak out when that's what was truly important, but also never sought simply to hurt people or simply to lash out at others, that he was more concerned about service, always showing the truth, but doing it in a way that exemplified love at every point. And I think that's worth remembering as we think about following the Lamb. The Lamb is the Messiah, and in an interesting way, Scripture also describes the Lamb as the Shepherd, as our Shepherd. That means I'm going to live life in a way that's modeled after Him. That makes sense to us if we reflect on what it is Jesus did. If we're human beings and we're part of the flock, we're sheep that are being led, and God comes and dwells among us through Jesus, it makes sense that that image would be a lamb that was slain. He became human. He was one of us who was slain, and we model our lives after him. That means our lives are going to look different than the lives of those around us. We're following a different shepherd. We're headed in a different direction. We're going to be living a different way. It's going to be a countercultural kind of life. But if we lean on him for guidance and for nourishment, he'll walk with us every step of the way. I hope this has been a series that's been helpful for you as we've thought about what we can remember as we look at different animals, as we watch the eagle fly, remembering the rejuvenation that God can bring his people. When we see the donkey, thinking about the way in which God opens the mouth of the donkey in Scripture to get a message out, God can use any of us. Or the power of the lion that reminds us not just of God's deliverance of Daniel from the lion's den, or the way he can help us when Satan, who is a roaring lion, seeks to attack us, but also the Lion of Judah and what it means to follow him. When we think about the productivity of the small animals we've discussed, the ant, that rock badger we saw talked about in Proverbs, or even the locust, the power that's there, the lizard that can show up in places you might not expect. As we reflected on what it's like to see God's power in fish in Scripture, and the way God uses the analogy of being fishers of men to describe what his apostles were doing. And even as we think about the sheep and the lamb, I hope that all of these bring home spiritual points and remind us of the fact that although God created all those creatures, Genesis 1 tells us that there was a different day of creation, a specific time which God made human beings. He made them in his image, and he cares about us. He wants us to learn from all of creation, but he wants us to have a relationship with him. If you don't have that relationship and you're interested in finding out more, I hope you'll contact us. Either connect with us on the website or give us a call at the church office. If you're a Graymere member that needs prayers or help, or if you're not able to be with us in person on Sundays and you're at home, but there's another need you have, please contact one of our shepherds. They want to be available to help you, to pray with you and for you, or to meet any other needs that you might have. Let's make sure that as part of the flock of God, we're living lives that are modeled after the Lamb that was slain.